Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. The question of worth is something we each consider and act upon many times each day. One of the more interesting examples is the way in which so many of us answer our phones. With the advent of caller ID on our landlines and the capacity of our cell phones to identify callers, we now can tell who is calling before answering the call. How often have we seen people look at their phones, see the identity of the caller, and choose to ignore the call? In so doing, they have made a judgment on the value of that caller and his call. Now, sometimes there are legitimate reasons to ignore a call, but more often than we might care to admit, we reject someone's call simply because we don't want to speak to that person at that occasion. The call at that point is of no value or worth to us. By the same token, we sometimes judge the worth of something either by our perception of its intrinsic value or by the effort it may require of us to pursue it. This is why we may find coins, primarily pennies, lying unclaimed on so many parking lots or on the floors of convenience stores. For a lot of people, a dropped penny has no worth, no intrinsic value, so they leave it behind without a second thought. In other cases, we may feel that the amount of energy and effort required to achieve some result is just not worth it. For example, pursuing a college degree late in life may be rewarding and interesting, but one may decide that the expenditure of time, money, and effort to obtain a degree isn't worth it because it will not make an appreciable difference in his or her life. When we move our focus from secular concerns to the spiritual, the question of worth is even more important to us. The scriptures speak of worth, both directly and indirectly, from several perspectives. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke of the worth of mankind in God's eyes. One of the primary concerns of all people is their day-to-day existence. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" Now, the implied answer is that mankind is worth much more to God than the birds are. In this same vein, the Lord spoke of the worth of each person's soul in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. He said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, these words were spoken as Jesus taught about the cost of following him. In this case, the Lord was telling his disciples that their souls are worth far more than the entire world. One would never possess anything in life that is more valuable than his soul. Therefore, the cost of discipleship is worth it in order to save one's soul. Implied in the Lord's statement, however, is a negative expression of worth. You see, the whole world does not equal the value of one's soul. The whole world is not worth one's soul in exchange for it. This exchange is not worthy to even be considered, much less transacted. This same assessment was made by Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 in the context of what we might call or what we might suffer in life because of our faith in Jesus Christ. He said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us." In this case, the value or worth of that glory that will be revealed to us is so far superior to any suffering we may endure in life as to make that suffering unworthy of our concern. Eternal life, which is the glory that will be revealed to us, is so valuable that any cost we may pay during life will be well worth having endured it. Eternal life is a worthy goal for all people to pursue. Now, when we check the word worthy in our dictionaries, we find definitions like these: deserving effort, attention, or respect, having or showing qualities or abilities that merit recognition, or good enough, suitable. The word worth is defined as the value of something or deserving to be treated or regarded in a particular manner, usually with respect or approval. The examples we have considered reflect these definitions in a more than satisfactory way. These definitions remain valid even when applied to God's perspective of our souls. We very often attribute worth to something on the basis of the price one pays for it. This is not always the case, for one might pay a large price for a work of art that turns out to be a forgery, or one might buy an automobile that is a lemon. In these situations, the cost paid did not accurately reflect the value of the item. With regard to our souls, however, there is no doubt as to their value. We know this because of the terrible price that our Father in heaven paid in order to redeem them from the clutches of Satan. We know that our souls are worth something because the one and only Son of God gave his life, shedding his precious blood, to purchase them. In this sense, there is nothing more valuable in all of human history. Nevertheless, we would never consider ourselves worthy of such a high price. We have, in fact, done nothing to merit God's benevolent gift. Paul reminds us of this truth in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, where he says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In this sense of the term, we are unworthy of the sacrifice that was paid on our behalf. God's overwhelming love for mankind placed value on our souls when we had done absolutely nothing to merit such favor. What this suggests to us is that there simply is no way that we will ever deserve the love and blessings that God has showered upon us. We will never be so good or righteous as to warrant admission to heaven at the end of time. Our human shortcomings and sins will always make it impossible to earn eternal life. Now this brings us to a text in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, in which the Lord speaks of us as being unworthy slaves. We are familiar with this kind of assessment, of course. Anyone who's ever owned a business or has been a foreman or a supervisor over a group of employees knows exactly what this means. An employee who regularly fails to meet the standards required by his company will shortly find himself unemployed. He will be deemed unworthy to be a part of that company and to receive a salary from it. We expect that kind of employee to be fired, don't we? But this is not the circumstance to which Jesus addressed himself on this occasion. He was speaking about the distinction that exists between a slave and his master. He was also discussing the proper attitude that his disciples should have. The 17th chapter of Luke begins with the Lord's instructions about forgiveness and causing others to stumble in their faith. Placing obstacles in the way of others and being unwilling to grant forgiveness are expressions of arrogance. The scribes and Pharisees were guilty of this because they looked down on the people and made it nearly impossible for them to keep God's law. This was not to be the case among the Lord's disciples, so he told them to forgive each other as often as the offending party expressed repentance. The kind of distinctions that characterized the behavior of the Jewish leaders were not to exist among the Lord's disciples because they were all of the same class. They were all slaves. In Luke chapter 17, verses 7 to 10, the Lord made his point. He said, "Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come immediately and sit down and eat'? But will he not say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink'?" He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all things which are commanded you, say, "We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done." Now, since all of the Lord's disciples are slaves, both then and now, none of them warrants particular recognition or elevated status among his peers. A slave's responsibility is to serve his master by doing whatever his master requires him to do. As difficult as it may be for us to understand, much less accept, a slave does not receive recognition simply for doing his duty. In our society today, we are told that everyone should receive special recognition just for being a part of the group, no matter what. This, we are told, builds self-esteem. But the result is a culture in which there is no incentive to excel, but there is an expectation of reward nonetheless. Contrary to this, the Lord wants his disciples to understand that the reward of eternal life is not based upon one's merit. Even if one does absolutely everything the Lord requires of him, he is still unworthy of this gift. Nevertheless, we would greatly err to think that since eternal life is a gift that we will never merit, that we are therefore freed from the responsibility of serving the Lord. The expectation of the Lord in this illustration is that slaves obey their master by doing everything he commands them to do. Now, the Greek word that is translated unworthy in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10 appears only one other time in the New Testament. It is in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30 at the end of the parable of the talents. In this verse, Jesus said, "Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." In this particular instance, the slave is called worthless, while in Luke the word unworthy appears, but in both places it is the same Greek word. In Matthew's account, we discover that the slave was labeled worthless because he refused to make any effort to fulfill his master's expectations. While the other slaves put the master's money to work and it grew in value, this slave buried the master's money and returned only what he had been given. Implicit in this parable is the fact that the slaves understood that they were to do something with their master's money. Two of them obeyed and were rewarded. The other disobeyed and was punished because of it. In application to ourselves, the Lord has given us the opportunity to be His slaves by obedience to the gospel and faithful service to Him thereafter. He expects us to do all that He has commanded us. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, this is what the Lord said in the Great Commission, that after one is made a disciple by being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, he is to be taught to observe all that Jesus commanded him. That is, he's being taught to obey every command of the Lord. But even then, even if we keep every command that Jesus requires of us, we are unworthy of the gift of eternal life. How much more unworthy then will we be if we choose not to obey at all? This is a stark contrast, isn't it? One who does everything the Lord requires is still unworthy of eternal life, and how much more so the one who refuses to obey the Lord. Friends, our souls are our most important and valuable possession. God the Father thought them worth the sacrifice of His Son on the cross in order to redeem us from our sins. As you think about the things that we've looked at from the Scriptures this morning, do you value your soul enough to do what the Lord commands in order to be saved? Are you humble enough to recognize that salvation is such a great gift that we will never be worthy of it? Are you humble enough to do all that the Lord commands and still call yourself an unworthy slave? If so, then the Lord is preparing for you a place in His Father's house where He will welcome you with the words, "Well done, good and faithful slave, enter into the joy of your master." These words, remember, are reserved by our Lord for a slave who has obeyed. They are reserved for a slave who, by his obedience, has made himself a recipient of God's blessing of eternal life. He's unworthy, but he's obedient, and therefore he is ushered into the presence of God with a blessing from Him for the good service that he's given by being obedient to all that the Lord commands. We are all unworthy slaves, but unworthy slaves who are obedient and have done all that the Lord requires are slaves who will enter heaven. Thanks very much for listening this morning. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.